Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, let's talk about Shannon Sharpe. We're all grown here. We're all adults. I feel like I was one of the few people that called the Xavier Worthy situation accurately. I will try to do that again here with Shannon Sharpe. Now, I have read a large majority of the text messages that have been released between these two. I've heard the audio that has been released. I feel very knowledgeable on this subject to speak on it. This is what I think happened with Shannon Sharpe and this young lady. I think that Shannon Sharpe and this young lady were engaged in a consensual, very graphic, kinky relationship. I think they both are into some things that are perfectly fine. I am not here to judge what you are into. I don't care about any of that. I have a very, very strict rule. I don't spend my free time worrying about what other adults do in their free time. If you cool with it and she cool with it, I don't know why I also shouldn't be cool with it. It doesn't matter. I'm not with either one of you. I think that it is pretty clear that Shannon Sharpe has certain things that he is attracted to. And I think that this young lady was playing out Shannon Sharpe's old man fantasies. I think they were playing out his old man fantasies. I'm into this, and I am willing to give you a certain amount of money to play into my fantasy because I make a whole lot of money. I was reading one of the little text messages exchange that they were having. She basically is telling him, hey, send me $50,000. He then replies to her and says, well, I don't have that in my PayPal account. She then asks for him to Cash App it to her. He then says, I don't have Cash App. She then replies, well, how can you send me the money? He said, I have it in cash. She said, take a picture of it and show it to me. I think they were both down with whatever they were doing. I think at some point, whenever that video or Instagram Live or whatever weird thing that Shannon Sharpe was doing on the internet a few months ago, I think a turn happened in their relationship. And at that moment, I think she realized I can use all of the stuff that I know that Shannon is into. I can use that to make a lot of money. Like, I don't know how you can read these text messages and not think that they are text messages between two consenting adults that are both into some freaky nonsense. And I think that her lawyer is very, very smart and knows how to play the internet game. I've been doing this a long time. A lot of you have been on the internet for a long time. You know the things that get you talking on the internet. And they have released very specific clips that I'm guessing if you heard the higher context of these two people talking to each other, the little 30-second clip they gave you would make a whole lot more sense. But that's not how the internet works. That's not how the internet works at all. And I think that Shannon realize, hey, this young girl kind of got me. I've been giving her money. I met her on OnlyFans. She knows a whole lot about me. And I think that Shannon tried to give her a significant amount of money. His lawyer admitted that. They tried to settle with this young woman for $10 million and she declined. So now her goal is to embarrass you on the internet. And yeah, it was 10. Yesterday's price is not today's price. I'm about to get $25 million out of you. That nice little $100 million deal you got for that podcast, you better name that. You could be calling it Club Shay Shay. It's about to be called Club Gabby because I'm about to own that podcast that you have. You got played. I mean, this was hook, line, and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker. She was going to get paid one way or the other. She was talking about you getting her pregnant in some of these text messages. She looked at you like a meal ticket. You were a gravy train. She's 20. She's doing OnlyFans. She got her hooks into a very wealthy, freaky old man. And boy, she played him like a piano. You got to pay that woman a lot of money. She embarrassed you. You can keep letting her embarrass you, and you might lose your ESPN job. You can keep letting her embarrass you, and she might have the deal that you have with your podcast. She might get it X'd out, or you can give her money to go away. You offered her 10. She wouldn't take 10. I don't know what her number is. I'm guessing it's a significant number to get her to stop releasing these little audio clips that she's been doing. But you got played. Simple as put. Life is simple. Horny always wins. And horny with a lot of money? Dangerous combination. And that's what Shannon Sharpe is. We know that. That's not even an opinion anymore. That is a fact. He's a freaky old man. We now know about Shannon Sharpe. So I don't know what's going to happen to Shannon. I'm assuming this woman, she's going to keep dropping these little mixtapes day after day with Shannon Sharpe. She's done it 2 days in a row. He said in his video, he thinks that she's going to release a video at some point. You don't want no video of you on the internet, bro. Come on now. You're worth $100 million, man. You're a Hall of Famer. You work for Disney. I don't know what you need to do, but you need to sit down with her and her lawyer and pay her to go away and stop releasing these videos. And Shannon, you got to come on now. You're 50-something years old. You're fooling with a 19, 20-year-old, bro. You picked her up from OnlyFans. What? She played you. You got hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. That's what she did. I mean, she's a big. She hit the lotto. She had life's lottery. Powerball. This was a slip and fall she hit you with. She got the McDonald's hot coffee. One can only dream of having something like this happen to you. This was her dream. She won. She don't got to work anymore. You working for her now. You don't work for Stephen A. Smith anymore, ESPN. You work for this OnlyFans gal. That's all I got, Rob. We can move on from this, but I wanted to give you guys my thoughts on Shannon Sharpe. I think that Shannon Sharpe and this woman had a consensual relationship. Based on what we've seen so far, if I'm wrong, I'm happy. We'll talk about, hey, I was wrong. I've jumped to the conclusion. I think these two people were engaged in a consensual, kinky, adult relationship. And I think she realized at some point, I can play this to my favor. And boy, is she playing it to, and she is making Shannon Sharpe look like a fool on the internet, is what she's been doing for the last 72 hours or so.
Or it's possible her contention is at some point the relationship stopped being consensual because she is accusing him of, I believe it's sexual assault. I could be wrong on what she's accusing him of, but she is accusing him of more than just being weirdo, send me texts that are very graphic in nature. She has made a larger accusation. So your theory is fine, but what will come down to is if the courts can prove, and it's a civil suit, if the courts can prove that she is saying, at a certain point, I didn't want this anymore, and Shannon kept doing this, these texts and this nature, that is going to be the major contention in the civil lawsuit. I would tell you, this, the longer this drags out, I don't think the civil lawsuit matters. I think eventually Disney is going to act. Yeah, probably before the courts act is my guess.
I agree. And you're right. All of that could be true. I think she is going to have a tough time with trying to 100% approve this because we have seen enough text messages to know that she was with a lot of stuff. She was with a lot of other stuff. So that doesn't mean at some point she didn't say no and she doesn't consent to it. And you're right. And then that ends your relationship. I think she is going to have a tough time proving it. And I don't think the goal of this was to ever get to that point. I think the goal of it is what she's been doing. She tried privately to hit him up for 50 mil. He offered her 10. I don't want 10. I want more than that. Or I'm going to start posting this on the internet every single day. She's giving these audio clips to TMZ. You don't ever give nothing to TMZ unless you're really trying to hurt somebody. You're giving these audio clips directly to the number one gossip column on the internet. You are trying to come up on this. And nobody can't come up on you if you don't give them the ammunition to. You handed her the murder weapon to potentially end your career. Come on now. You a 56-year-old man talking like this to a 19, 20-year-old woman. You had to know at some point something wasn't on the up and up. You saw those same text messages. That girl is a weirdo. But you kept going over there. I mean, hey, it happens. It's going to be a very expensive lesson for Unk Shay Shay. A very, very expensive and embarrassing lesson. As I will say this, and we can move on from this. We might not ever talk about this again. I imagine I feel like many of you when it comes to this. We know way too much about Shannon Sharpe's personal life. I don't want to know anymore about him. This kind of feels like, remember a year or so ago, we were like trapped in Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith's life. And you were like, how did we get, I did not ask to be in the middle of this. I don't want anything to do with this. I like Shannon Sharpe. I think he's very funny. I think he does get great interviews. I like Shannon Sharpe. I didn't ask to know all of this about Shannon Sharpe. Hey, I just want your thoughts on the Lakers. I didn't sign up for knowing who you were sleeping with and what you into. I didn't sign up for this. Please delete me from these emails. Please unsubscribe me. Take me out of the group chat. I just want to get back to normal stuff with Shannon Sharpe. Hopefully we do that. So far, we have not been able to do that in 2025. But you know what? I dream of a more productive day. Let's get back to the NFL draft. Coming up on the other side, we're going to go to Tennessee. They have a couple of players that have been mocked to the Chiefs. They have a running back that I really like, Dylan Sampson. Very talented running back. They also have James Pierce Jr., who coming into the season was maybe the best pass rusher, had a disappointing junior year, but still looks like he could be a first-round pick. We will head to Tennessee next. Keep it right here, so drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Zach Reagan. He covers the Tennessee Volunteers with A to Z Sports. They have a couple of players that have potentially been mocked to the Kansas City Chiefs. Two very talented players last year from the SEC. Zach, how are you doing, my man?
Good. How's it going today?
Doing great. Zach, before we get to these draft prospects, what has it been like to cover the Vols for these last 2 weeks that they have been in the center of the college football NIL debates?
Tennessee always has a way of creating some interesting storylines in the offseason. So we thought we were going to get through this one unscathed, but you know, lo and behold, late in the spring, they make it as crazy as ever. So it's been a wild ride the past 2 weeks.
And, Zach, especially coming off a year in which you guys made the college football playoff, I mean, this is one of the better Tennessee Volunteer years in the last decade or so. This offseason was supposed to be a celebration. Hey, we're going back to the playoff next year. Maybe we can win the SEC. But it has been kind of mired in controversy around your quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we kind of thought this was going to be a quiet off season, not a lot of storylines going into the fall, just kind of everybody stay healthy and, you know, see if they can pick up where they left off last season, maybe add a little bit of talent to the transfer portal. And I mean, now you got to replace your quarterback. You don't even know who's going to be under center for the first game of the season next year against Syracuse. So they find a way to keep it compelling.
Let's talk about a couple of the players that you guys have that are heading to the National Football League. Let's talk about James Pierce. I think he was one of the better pure pass rushers last year in college football. What do you make of his transition from college to the pros?
Yeah, it was, you know, about a year ago, some people had him as maybe the number one overall pick, and then throughout the season, he didn't have quite as many sacks last year for Tennessee. Part of that's because early in the year, he wasn't playing, you know, the entire game against some of the weaker competition. Tennessee likes to rotate their guys in and out quite a bit on that defensive line. And then you had some like character concerns pop up that kind of came out of nowhere a little bit, because he really didn't cause a lot of drama when he was at Tennessee. You know, with all this NIL stuff, especially with the Nico stuff, you kind of expect that now, but that never really came up with him. There was no, you know, vague tweets or anything like that. So not really sure where we stand on the character concern stuff, because I didn't see a lot of that. But just as a pass rusher, man, he was always so dynamic at Tennessee. I mean, you saw other teams game planning for him, kind of helping out, you know, sending other guys his way, which freed up other guys. So he made an impact even when he wasn't generating those, like, crazy sack numbers. But, you know, I think he's a guy that can be an instant impact pass rusher guy. I don't know if his game is complete enough to be an every down guy yet, but he definitely seems like a first round talent.
From just how you describe Pierce and the season that he had this past season at Tennessee, it sounds a lot like a prospect that listeners are going to be able to identify with Luther Burden. Had a dominant sophomore year. You kind of expected him to take that jump from year two to year three. It didn't happen, but all of the talent is there. And if he puts it together, he can be a very good pro. All of that sounds like what you're describing with James Pierce.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, I don't know if it's just the extra pressure that comes along with some of the hype that got put on him going into his junior season, or just teams game planning against him. You know, they were trying to get the ball out quick. If you watched a lot of Tennessee games last season, most of the teams they were playing weren't trying to sit in the pocket and hit a lot of shots downfield. They were trying to run these short routes to kind of game plan away from him to keep their quarterback clean in the pocket, you know, not expose him to Pierce coming off the edge. But there were definitely some moments where you saw the flashes of that elite talent, where he would just manhandle, you know, a left tackle or a right tackle, and it made it look like he was playing against high school competition at times. So the flashes were there. And, you know, Kansas City, I mean, where else, you know, that's kind of the place you would want to go to get developed, you know.
You mentioned some character concerns with Pierce. Are they enough to scare you away? I mean, I know you don't cover the Chiefs on a day-in, day-out basis, but you follow football. You certainly know the Chiefs have had their run-ins with questionable decision-making and character. Would you be hesitant to bring a guy like Pierce into your locker room or take a chance on him?
The thing with Pierce is I never really got the sense that he was a problem for Tennessee. Like I said, he was kind of an enigma. He didn't speak a lot. They didn't make him available to the media a lot. I don't think he liked doing a lot of that stuff. He was just kind of a head down, go play kind of guy. Even during the recruiting process, he wasn't really that hyped. When he signed with Tennessee, it was late in the process. It was almost kind of like an afterthought. Like, he wasn't one of these guys that was trying to get his name out there and going to all these camps and trying to get shout outs on social media all the time. He just played football. So some of these concerns, they talk about his coachability. I wonder if it's not just a personality deal where people haven't got the chance to really sit down and talk to him and get the gist of who he is. You know, back during the combine, I felt like he made an effort to, you know, he sat down and did some interviews with like NBC Sports and some other people that were there at the combine. And I felt like that was kind of to change the perception of who he is as a player. So, yeah, I don't think he was a troublemaker type guy. I think they just wonder how coachable he is, but that might just be because he's a quiet guy.
Zach Reagan covering the Tennessee Volunteers. Do you see any player comparison for him? Is somebody who's watched his 3 years at Tennessee, is there an NFL player that he reminds you of?
He's just kind of more of like a right now, he seems like a rotational guy. Any guy that you see that comes in on like first and second down, right, that's brought in just to specifically rush the passer. I mean, there's a ton of those guys he's not a three-down, four-down guy quite yet because there's concerns about his run defense. And that's another thing, too, where, you know, that wasn't something he was asked to do a lot at Tennessee. Like, they were using him on early downs. They were subbing him out for some of their bigger guys in later downs, run, you know, or early downs running downs. So he might just be a pass rush specialist for now. And maybe that's something he can grow into as he kind of gets coached in those areas, adds some weight to his frame. But really, any kind of rotational pass rusher is really what he reminds me of specifically.
He feels like the prototypical right there on the fringe. You could tell me that James Pierce goes 22 in this year's draft, it wouldn't shock me. You could tell me that Pierce goes 42 in this year's draft, and it wouldn't surprise me. Do you think he ends up being on the first round, or do you think he's going to have to wait until Friday to hear his name called?
Man, that's a really tough call because I think nobody really knows where his draft stock is. I agree with you. He seems like a guy that maybe he even goes as high as like 15 to one of those teams, or maybe he falls to the end of the second round. I think it really depends on how NFL teams really view him. I know this time of year, it's tough to know. You know, there's so much information flying around as far as this character concerns, what's true, what's not, are people trying to manipulate where he falls in the draft and this and that. So I tend to think he'll go in the first round. It might be the later half of the first round because I think his talent, just his natural physical ability, is going to be too tempting to pass up.
Let's talk about the running back that you guys have, Dylan Sampson. Right now we're taking a closer look at a couple of the players who have been mocked to Kansas City. We just talked about James Pierce, a very talented pass rusher. Let's talk about Dylan Sampson. I think that he was one of the five best running backs in college football last year. I'm a little surprised that there's not more buzz surrounding him coming into the league.
Yeah, I think some of that might have to do with Tennessee's offense. I know there's a lot of people skeptical about their kind of wide open offense and the way they run those wide splits and create some nice running lanes. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm a big fan of Sampson, not just because of the way he plays, but just who he is as a person, as a player. He's one of Tennessee's main team leaders, and I know you guys have Trey Smith out there, a former Vol, and he reminds me a lot of Trey Smith in his demeanor, just that he wants to win, he wants to be a part of a winning culture, he's a team first guy, and I think that's as important as what he can do on the field.
I'm looking at a player comparison for him, and I see Brian Westbrook. My question, I guess, with that is, do you see him as that level of pass catcher? I think he is that level of talent out of the backfield, but what made Brian Westbrook so special was his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and be that dual threat. Do you think that Sampson can be that?
I think that's the big question with him because he wasn't asked to do that at Tennessee a lot. Tennessee doesn't throw to their running backs a lot because they have those wide splits. They like to use their running backs in pass protection on passing plays, and it's something I think they should do a little more is get the ball to those running backs, but they really don't ask them to catch the ball a lot. I think he had like 20 catches last season, and he played a lot of downs last year for Tennessee. He was their primary running back, didn't come off the field very much. I think that's something he's been looking to prove during this draft process as he meets with teams and works out for teams. It's kind of an unknown. I tend to think he can do it just because he's so driven and he's so good in space. When he gets in the open field, he's able to break tackles. It's just the question of, can he actually do it? Because we haven't seen him.
You mentioned the scheme a couple of times. Do you think that there is a chance that he is a system runner, that he just benefited from being in the right system at the right time?
I think there's always that possibility with some of these guys coming out of Tennessee, because we have seen some guys come from that system, specifically wide receivers that haven't fared that well in the NFL so far. Jalin Hyatt, Velus Jones, Cedric Tillman, you know, with the Browns, caught on a little bit last season, but they do put their players in advantageous positions, and I think they're always going to face those questions a little bit. But I think with Sampson, he's shown the ability to break tackles. He has good vision. He hits the hole hard. He's kind of that one cut and go guy, and I think his game translates to the next level as long as he can hold up physically.
We're talking about a player who at the combine measured at 5'8", 200 pounds. Do you see him as an every down back? He got a lot of wear and tear in college. We're now moving up to a higher level, bigger, stronger, faster, more physical league. Do you see him as being an every down back, or do you see him as being a change of pace player?
There's a chance he could be that change of pace type guy. Last season, you know, his first 2 years at Tennessee, he had 184 total touches. You know, he was playing behind Jalen Wright and Jabari Small. last season he was the guy, and he had 278 touches. And you know, they got into that college football playoff game against Ohio State in December, and he only played 16 snaps because he had a hamstring. Just wasn't able, you know, just wore down by the end of the season. So he took a lot of hits last season. He did everything he could to stay on the field. He still got to prove he can be durable. You know, is he going to be a 300 carry guy in the NFL? I don't know if that's reasonable, especially at his size. He showed he's willing to carry the load, but, you know, willing to and being able to are two different things.
That was Zach Reagan, who covers the Tennessee Volunteers. They have a couple of players who could potentially head to the Kansas City Chiefs. They have a very talented running back in Dylan Sampson. He was one of the better running backs last year in college football. They also have James Pierce. It is kind of funny because there are so many similarities, I would say, between James Pierce and Luther Burden. Like, I think in some ways they are the same prospect, just on the opposite side of the ball. I mean, James Pierce had 10 sacks as a sophomore in the SEC, and the expectation was that he was going to be the best defensive player as a junior. Luther Burden's best year was a sophomore, and everyone expected him to take that next step forward, and that's not what happened last year. Now, both players, I think, are still obviously held in very high regard because of having success in the SEC, but both look like they're going to be fringe first-round picks because of having disappointing junior seasons. There's a lot of similarities in those two prospects.
I wonder with James Pierce, by the way, if we talked about the other day how Quinn Ewers was at one point the number one quarterback on the board at this time last year. This time last year, James Pierce was a top five guy. Like, James Pierce was going to be that dude in the NFL draft because he was an elite pass rusher at Tennessee, who we thought was going to make the college football playoff on the back of his greatness. Not really how it shook out, but I worry about players like that, at least in round one. Like, why did it fall off? Where did it go? And I think that's why you're seeing Luther Burden slide out of round one in mocks. I think that's why you're seeing James Pierce slide out of round one in mocks. Like, either it's self-preservation or something happened, but you can't go from an elite talent as a sophomore and we think, oh, it's going to be go time, and you follow it up with mediocrity. That kind of prospect scares me when they're hot and cold like that.
Let's take a little bit of a break from talking about the NFL draft. We'll certainly get back to it in just a little bit. Have you guys seen the most recent story that is in the Kansas City Star? The headline reads, "The clock is ticking for the Chiefs and the Royal Stadium plans. Is Missouri doing enough?" Now, if you haven't read this story, I think you would agree with this. If you are still asking the question on is Missouri doing enough to keep the teams over a year after the vote failed, then the answer is no. I believe Kansas is doing enough. I think that Kansas has made a very attractive offer. We still keep asking the same question about the other side of state line, so the answer has to be no. I'm going to read to you guys three small paragraphs from this story. Now, I would highly encourage you to read this story on Kansas City Star's website, but I'm going to read you the gist of it. With less than a month left in the year's legislative session, Missouri lawmakers have largely taken no steps to provide public support for the new stadiums for the Chiefs and the Royals. I'm going to finish this, but can we stop really quickly and acknowledge what we just heard? With less than a month left, Rob, they've taken largely no steps. How can you see what Kansas is doing and what they've put together and how unified of a plan they have? And you have had over a year to get all your ducks in a row and be prepared for the biggest fight of your political life, and you've taken no steps? Okay, let's move forward. State lawmakers are divided on the exact reason for the lack of forward momentum. They can't even agree why they can't agree. Think about that. They're divided on the reason why they're failing. We don't know why we lost. I mean, we couldn't stop the run. We couldn't stop the pass. We couldn't get off the field on third down. We couldn't run the ball. I don't know. All of those things are why we're losing. Okay. All right. Every sentence gets worse than the one before it. Some Kansas City area Democrats say that the General Assembly needs to do more, fearing that the teams could be headed on the way out. But the top lawmaker in the Missouri House says that he wants local officials in Jackson County and Kansas City to come up with a plan first. You guys don't have a plan? How is this even possible? 913-586-7965. Maybe you guys know this better than me and you can answer this for me. The top lawmaker in the Missouri House says he wants local officials in Jackson County and Kansas City to come up with a plan first before state legislators move forward with measures that would provide public funding for one or more stadium projects. You've had a year. A year. We're getting down to brass tacks here. You guys still don't have a game plan? Do you know what you're up against? Do you think that they won't leave and move across state line? Do you think that they're joking about this? Because I don't think the football team is joking. Maybe the baseball team is joking a little bit about it. I don't think that the NFL team is joking about it, especially when there is a state 20 minutes from you that is willing to roll out the red carpet and give them everything that they want. You want land? You want tax breaks? You want a brand new stadium? You want us to pay for a majority of it? Come on. You don't have a plan. I want to read to you this last quote. I promise you, we won't spend too much time on this. I want to talk about the draft. I'm tired of talking about their incompetence. This is the Missouri House Speaker. I don't know this man's name, but he seems like he's an important person. Quote, I think more and more it's looking like Jackson County and Clay County are going to have to split the teams to make the deal work for both teams to stay in Missouri. Now, I can't say this definitively. This is just Carrington's opinion. I'm not reporting anything. Oh, I heard on, you did not hear. This is Carrington thinks. There is no world in which the Chiefs are moving to North Kansas City. None. You think the Chiefs are building a new stadium out by the airport? That's what you think? I'm serious. We all live in the same area. We maybe don't live in the same part of town. We all live in the same area. You think that the Chiefs are building new Arrowhead out by the airport? Stop it. So their hope is that the Royals would move up north and then the Chiefs would agree to stay at the Truman Sports Complex. That's what they're hoping on? Okay. Good luck. This is a generational fumble from the people on the Missouri side. This is incompetence. Everybody associated with this should be fired. Recalled. What's the term? How do we get rid of them? Impeached. You don't have a plan. Now your plan is, hey, Clay County, come save us. That's their plan. What's that saying? F-A-F-O? They obviously don't believe that. They don't believe it. The Royals are going to be playing baseball on 135th and Metcalf, and the Chiefs are going to be out by the Legends with the way that Missouri is playing this thing. This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. These are the people that we elected. These are the people that represent us. They can't get on the same page. They've had a year. They can't even agree on why they're disagreeing. They can't move forward with the most important thing in their entire political career. They're about to lose two NFL teams in a span of a decade. It's one thing to lose it to Los Angeles, California. They're about to lose one to Wyandotte County. And they still can't get on the same page. I'm dumbfounded. I really am. I'm crestfallen at this development. You guys don't understand what's happening. Kansas is all prepared. Got their clothes laid out for the next day. Man, I'm going to go to bed early. I'm going to get a good breakfast in the morning. I'm acing the ACT. Missouri is trying to cram for the test. Just. I wish. I know some of you guys can see my face. I'm just. This is unbelievable, is what it is. It's genuinely unbelievable. It really is. Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, the stadium issue is 100% Frank White's fault. I hope the axe has to grind is nice and sharp. At this point, it's all of their. It's all of their fault. I can't blame one individual for this. It's all of them. They're not good. I don't have any other way to describe it. I mean, they're about to find out, though. I'm serious. We're about to find out when the Chiefs are kicking off the 2031 season right next to Nebraska Furniture Mart, and Rob can see opening pitch, the first pitch from his balcony, then they'll find out. Well, I mean, to be positive, I mean, we got the current. So, I mean, you know, we're fighting hard here, you know, fighting hard. You know what? The World Cup is like the send-off. That's what it is now. It's the send-off is what it is for these people. This is just, I don't even have anything to say. I'm going to go get some water. We're going to come back. We're going to regroup. And we're going to get back to the NFL draft. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a special season for the Missouri Tigers.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
I got a bone to pick with you guys. It's a small bone, but it's a bone nonetheless. Sometimes I think that people my age, and maybe this is just a human thing, we are in love with nostalgia. Everything was better in the 90s. Everything was better in the 2000s. And we are really nostalgic about, like, the weirdest things. Like, Rob, you and I are on the internet. The internet is really nostalgic about Jason Williams, who played for the Sacramento Kings. Just weirdly nostalgic about him. I want to know why Travis Hunter isn't more beloved by us. Because I think if you took the same player that we just watched at Colorado and you put that player in 1993, we would talk about Travis Hunter like he was a mythical creature, is how we would talk about him. Instead, sometimes I feel like Travis Hunter is polarizing and I don't really know why. Maybe it's just social media that there's always going to be people that love you, but now we have given more of a voice to the people that hate you. I see a college player who did something that I don't really think many of us thought was possible. He was one of the best wide receivers in college football this past season, was one of the best defensive players this year, seems to have a great personality, has never gotten in trouble, never really been in the center of any controversy other than his relationship with his girlfriend that people don't approve of. It's very, very weird. I don't know why we don't view Travis Hunter in a way that we would for a player in the 90s. Because if Travis Hunter was a college football player in 95, people would talk about Travis Hunter like he was the greatest thing ever. I don't really think that's how we talk about him. And maybe I've missed it. 913-586-7965. But I think now with social media, we just see the cycle of it all more than maybe we used to. That when it was new and fresh and he was a sophomore at Colorado, it was shiny and sparkly. And then last year, we were arguing that a running back who played at a mid-major should have been the Heisman Trophy. And then weirdly after him winning the award, it was odd. Travis Hunter is the greatest NFL prospect that we have ever seen. I don't even think that is an opinion at this point. I think that's a fact. I believe that Travis Hunter could be an all-pro at either position if he quit playing the other one and focused in on it. I think if Travis Hunter right now said, I don't want to play wide receiver anymore, I want to be the best corner in the league, I think he could be. I think Travis Hunter, if he just said, I want to be a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver, I think that he could be if he just decided. that same guy is about to enter today's NFL and play a little bit of both. I'm excited to see if he can do it. I don't really get that same sense that everybody is excited to see if Travis Hunter can do something that literally no player has ever done before at this level. We're not talking about Deion Sanders that would moonlight a little bit at wide receiver but was kind of awkward at it. Like, I think that Travis Hunter is going to be a good player next year on both sides of the ball. I think he's going to have real packages next year. I think he's going to be a legitimate wide receiver next year in the National Football League and play corner for a team in the league. I'm just excited to see if he could do it. And I feel like in the 90s, we loved the attempt of things. We love to see Deion try to see if he could play football and baseball at the same time. We love the fact that Charlie Ward won the Heisman Trophy and then decided to play point guard for the Knicks. I don't really feel like we appreciate cool things that happen in sports anymore.
I agree with you. And I think what has happened to Travis Hunter is he got caught up in the polarization of both Deion and Shador, because Deion is the most polarizing person in college football. It is not a player. It is not another coach. It's not a program. It is one person. It is Deion Sanders. It's Coach Prime. And he got swept up in all that. And there are a lot of people who don't like Coach Prime. They don't like Shador. And he got caught up in that riptide, for lack of a better term. Because I think there are reasons to think the amount of coverage versus the amount of success with Deion is frustrating. There are reasons to say, why do we talk about Shador like he's some can't-miss NFL prospect when he feels more like Geno Smith? How come he get his number? Like, all the Shador-Deion stuff has created this buzz, and it's created both positive and negative buzz, and Travis Hunter's caught up in it. And I think it's almost a problem with Deion that Travis Hunter is now viewed negatively, because he should be viewed like Charles Woodson. He should be a person we're talking about. Hey, Cam Ward's great, and he was good at Miami and Incarnate Word and Washington State, but what Travis Hunter did is crazy. How can you pass on that talent? But instead, it's he played at Colorado with Shador and Deion. That's part of his story.
Yeah, and I guess to me, and I guess I don't understand it from this context. I feel like in the 90s, we used to love the characters of sports. Who is the outspoken player in today's sports climate that people really like? Who is that player? Who's the player that is outspoken that people would consider to be beloved? Because I don't know if we would love Charles Barkley today if he came out and was playing. I think a lot of people would hate Charles Barkley. And I don't think Barkley would be as famous if he was a player in 2025 like he was in 1995. I think the way that we love and appreciate sports because of social media, I feel like it's changed. And I feel like a lot of it has changed because of social media. And also the way that we cover sports on television.
That's fair. I think we've always felt this way, but it's just like we haven't talked about it. We've wanted characters in sports, but we don't want them to be, we don't want them to be created. We want them to be enjoyed, if that makes, like, I feel like part of the character of Travis Hunter and liking Travis Hunter, it feels like it wasn't organic. It felt like Deion was creating this when it first happened. Remember, Travis Hunter had played one half of college football at the Division I Power 5 level. And what did Deion say on the way to the locker room? He's got his Heisman already in his house. And it made people feel a way about Travis Hunter that they shouldn't have. They should have walked away from that TCU game and been like, that guy's a freak. And we saw two great years in playing college football. But I think everyone's first two memories of Travis Hunter are that incredible pick at the goal line against TCU.
It's an amazing play.
And then what Deion said at halftime of that game to Fox Sports about him having the Heisman already locked up. And I think it put a sour taste in people's mouth because it didn't feel like the character and the greatness came organically. It felt like Deion was pushing an agenda. And because of who Deion is, that made people feel a way about Travis Hunter.
Yeah, text line 913-586-7965. Characters were fun in portions that we had back in the day. Now they get old and forced all day, every day with social media. Well, I would say that's an us problem, then a their problem. That's an us thing then. Like, I love Travis Hunter. I'm really excited to see what he looks like in the National Football League. Like, I'm really excited to see if this can work with him. I think he... I think he seriously wants to try to play both at a high level next year in the NFL. And we've never had that conversation if you could do it or not. Sure, we've seen guys that could play a little bit of defense and they could come over and have one or two run a jet sweep. I think he's going to try to legitimately play corner and wide receiver in the league. I'm just really excited about the attempt. And the fact that a player like that who won the Heisman Trophy, who played, I think Nick had this stat earlier. Before Travis Hunter, the most that a player had ever played, like 250 snaps on both sides of the ball, he played over 750 snaps last year in college football. The fact that we are even debating the fact if he is polarizing or not is weird to me. Someone on the text line says, what about Jameis Winston? He's loved. He also was accused of sexual assault. It took a long time for us to get... We did not feel that way about Jameis Winston for a very, very long time. And the fact that Jameis, who was not popular at all in college and has been able to rebrand himself over the last 3 years, is one of the most remarkable things I can see. Jameis Winston at time, we could probably look it up, was the most unpopular player in college football. Like, legitimately. And the fact that now he has turned into a guy that everybody loves is just, it is a Snoop Dogg level of rebranding what we have seen Jameis Winston do. Not many people get the ability to do that. We'll keep talking about the NFL draft on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.